Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome in. We got a treat for you tonight. We got Brother Caden preaching his first sermon, but we'll start with praising the Lord in song. Let's take the songs to remember. Number 6 should be on the end of your pews there, and let's turn to number 11. Let's turn to number 7, Blessed Assurance.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see each and every one out here tonight. We are thankful for the good number that has come this way tonight for this service. And this is a special occasion. I'm sure Brother Caden doesn't really feel like it's that special. He has told me already that he was nervous. I told him I'd be worried if he wasn't nervous. And that's very true. And I've thought a lot this week about my first time preaching. And my first time, I was the same age as him. I was 16 year old. I think that's right on you. Just fixing to turn 17 year old when I preached my first sermon. So I have that in common with him. I was one that I didn't really expect a lot of people to come out for my message, but there was a crowd. Actually, a little better, bigger than this crowd. I'll say it that way. But it doesn't make you feel good when you're up here to see the big number for the first time. But it also makes you feel good that people thought enough of you to come and listen to you preach. Now, right quickly, I will ask this question. How many preachers do I have in my midst tonight? Would you please stand? Everybody that can. Brother Caden, these men will be praying for you. That's something you'll learn. Whenever there's God called preachers in the midst, you know you got somebody praying for you. And I appreciate each and every one of you being here tonight and coming to support this young man. He is blessed with a lot of his do-re-mi classmates here tonight, and I appreciate them coming. And I guess I should say teachers too, shouldn't I? Teachers and those that helps up there at do-re-mi, and I appreciate each and every one of them coming to support him tonight. We thank you for being here, and if you're visiting with us tonight, we want you to make yourself right at home with us, and we just want you to serve the Lord tonight is what we want you to do, and make sure that you're praying for Brother Caden as he'll be trying to bring this message tonight. And let's ask the Lord to help him in this service. Now, we had prayer requests this morning for Sister Barbara. She's better, glad she is, but she's not well. We need to continue praying for her. I got a message from Brother Stewart just right before I came in. And, of course, they're in New Mexico taking care of Sister Pauline's daughter and son-in-law after transplant surgery, and they think he will go home today. He's the recipient, but she probably won't go home until tomorrow. But that's pretty common from what I understand. That didn't make sense to me that the one donating, being the donor, would be the one that would have the hardest time. So let's do remember Sister Pauline's daughter in our prayers also. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. Is there another prayer request upon anyone's heart? Yes. Yeah, I meant to mention that earlier. Thank you. Let's do remember Brother Benji Blackwell. He's having heart surgery. Somebody else. Let's make sure we pray one for another. And as I said, let's pray for Brother Caden. And he's going to learn a little bit tonight, but he'll learn from every time he stands is what he'll do. So let's be prayerful for him, and let's ask the Lord to come and be in this service. That's the most important thing tonight, is that the Lord will come and be in this service tonight. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in this service. Brother Klein, will you lead us in prayer, please?
All right, we've got a couple more selections, and we'll turn it over. Let's turn to number 31. Number 31. One more congregational song, number 61. Let's turn to number 61.
Sister Shirley for playing for us today. Good to see everybody once again. And as I said earlier, make sure you pray while you listen to Brother Caden. We're going to turn the service over to him at this time. And let us all pray is what I want us to do.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out today. That means a lot to me, all the support that y'all show. I think that it's appropriate that I share my testimony and my calling to preach. I got saved July 18th, 2021. I had been lost for quite some time. And I was sitting right over there Monday morning revival service, and I have no idea what Brother Ricky was preaching about. No clue. But two women came up to me, and they asked if I died, where would I go? Said I was going to go to hell. By me saying that, I knew I had to do something about that, and I couldn't just sit there. So I came to this bench, and I pleaded to God. I repented for every sin that I could think of imaginable. Maybe 30, 45 minutes, there was nothing to pray about anymore. I was blank. I just got saved. Best feeling ever, really. It was great. So happy that I'm not going to go to a place of torment. You know, a lot of sermons, preachers will talk about what hell is like, more often so than they talk about what is heaven like. I don't want to go to hell, and I hope none of you do. My calling to preach, I was at Doremi on June 5th, nighttime sermon. In these previous months, I have been having dreams of me standing here in front of a large crowd. Played it off because dreams are just dreams. And I'm sitting between Randy and Malachi, and all I hear is, preach. And I looked around because I didn't know what just happened. And then it just dawned on me, this is real, this is what God has just told me to do. The last song that we sang, Hand in Hand. Are you walking hand in hand with the Lord? I want you to think about that as I give scripture. If you would, I ask that you please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now I'm going to read from verses 1 to 7. Story behind this is basically Paul writing a letter to Timothy of the signs of the end. I truly believe that any day the Lord is going to come back. I truly believe that. I mean, we turn on the news and we see, you know, the wars that goes on, see all the horrible worldly things, and it's devastating. And so I'm gonna start reading. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with driver's lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, we are human, and we want what we want when we want it. That's just how it is. But it is our decision to act upon these things. We have a choice whether to walk the path of righteousness or to fall back and walk the path of Satan. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to walk the path of Satan. Mm-mm. That is not a good life. That's not a good life to live. Verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You can come to church every Sunday. You can come to Bible studies. You can come to VBSs, revivals, whatever it may be. Just because you have the head knowledge of God, that's not the same as having the heart knowledge of God. Now, what I listed, it's every day one of these things happens. Not a day goes by that no sin happens. Every day there is sin. You have a decision whether to follow in sin or don't. I think people take life for granted. I think some people don't care for the breath of life. And I don't know how you can live a life doing these things and not thinking that there will be no consequences. Verse 2, it says, disobedient to parents. There's a lot of young ones in here, a lot of teenagers, and with that, we think we know everything, including myself. I think I know more than what anybody else does, and that is just not true. It's not. And, you know, I don't know how people can put worldly desires ahead of a God that loves them and is offering everlasting life without any torment. I mean, in Revelation, you can read chapters 21 and 22, you know, it talks about, you know, God will wipe the eyes of those, no sorrow, no sadness, no. If it's not happy, it's not there. It's only happiness. This list is what we need to think about more often than we do. It breaks me when I look at people at school and see the things that they do. Because if you have a friend that does something, you're also going to want to follow that path too. It is up to you to decide whether you want to follow through on that or if you want to follow the path of holiness. Verse 6, when it talks about, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leap captive silly, women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." More and more we see teenagers and younger kids doing things they ought not to do. Some of them don't have parents who care for them. And they're not teaching them the right way. And it's not just women that have fleshful lust to it. It's men, it's everybody. But you have a decision whether to follow through on these worldly sins or not. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That verse sticks out a lot to me. It does. Because people, school, work, they will point out, "Oh, I'm better than you in this type of way. I love myself because my physical attributes, I look beautiful." And you are not supposed to boast at all. I know it's hard to turn away from things that you may be at school or at work with. Especially school. You spend 8 hours a day around kids that think they know everything. And like I said, they don't. And you can only do so much as a Christian. You know, you can plant that little seed, you can tell them about the gospel, but you can't make somebody want to listen to you. All you can do is give them the information that you know, tell them that they can read the Bible, tell them what they should and should not do, but it is up to them to follow that or not. People will always say that they know the Lord. They'll say that they believe. You can say you believe, but if you don't truly believe in your heart that Jesus died, rose again, and is going to come back, what are you believing? I think that we need to start thinking more about our worldly desires more often than not. Because it is not a good life living on this list. It's not good. And this will only continue for so long until God says, "I'm tired of it. This shall be no more," and he will come back. And people don't think about that. They take every day for granted. They'll think, you know, maybe at the end of the day, they'll sit back and they'll think, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. But then they'll continue to do it the next day. And then so on. God is only going to put up with this sin for so long. And if you are not walking hand in hand with the Lord, you are in a world of trouble. Like I said from before, you can choose a path of righteousness, or you can choose a path of unholiness. If I was you, I would choose righteousness. I don't want to see any of you go to hell. I know you now. I don't want to go to an everlasting heaven where you're not there. Again, I want to say thank you for your attention. Thank each and every one of you for coming up. Thank you.
He done good. That's what I told him. He done good. And one piece of advice I hadn't given him, and I thought later on I didn't. When I had was a new preacher, there was an old deacon told me, he said, remember those three S ups that a preacher needs to know. You stand up when the Lord tells you to. When he tells you to speak up, you speak up. But when he's done with you, shut up. That sounds funny, but that's good advice. I've saw preachers over the years that, and I guess I've been guilty of it. I know it was my first sermon, because that my first sermon, I thought, well, that wasn't long enough, and I tried to go a little further, and I ended up in a mess. And I learned real quick, when the Lord's done with you, sit down, be quiet, you're done. And it's something that every preacher has to learn. But I thought Caden did a really good job. I thank every one of you for praying like you did. Brother Fabian, if you can, give us another song. And we want to shake hands with Brother Caden. We want to bid him Godspeed in his ministry. While they're getting ready, one of the things he told me was that he wanted to be a preacher that he didn't want to be a one and done. He wanted to be one that was going to preach as often as he could. And that's great. I was glad to hear that out of him. So we need to remember him that he'll get strength. And it's not easy getting appointments to preach and places to preach. And I think the church ought to give him some opportunities as time goes on to stand more. But I want us to come down here. I want him to come down here in front where everybody can come around and shake hands with him. And let's all bid him Godspeed in this service today.
Number 60, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
Good job singing. Enjoyed that very much. Anybody else got something on your heart, word of testimony or anything? We are thankful that each and every one of you have come this way. I know Brother Kane appreciates all of his friends, especially, but everybody for coming, but especially his friends for coming out. There's, in my mind, this has been 51 years ago since I preached my first sermon, but I can still remember that there was a young man and girl that sat over here in this corner that I definitely did not expect to come. And he's going to be the same way about some of y'all. And he'll appreciate that for the rest of his life. And I appreciate each and every one of you for coming out tonight. I thank everyone for coming out. Thank you for your prayers for Brother Kate. Keep it up. As some different ones have said, the devil's going to be right on him. And they're going to be, he's going to be coming in on him and saying, they just ragged on you for this. You really didn't do that good job. You did, too. But I want you to know that's what the devil will do. So he needs your prayers. And let's pray that the Lord will help you. Help you to stand every chance that he gives. Anybody else got anything on your heart or testimony or anything? Let me give you a quick rundown of the announcements. Vacation Bible School will be starting the 9th of July. We have our pre-meeting for our business meeting. Second Sunday is our business meeting. And our revival will be coming up on the 20th. And look at the date. I'm used to saying it's on the 4th Sunday. But we invite all of you that are visiting to come back and be with us then. If nobody in these bunch can come and sing for us, I'd love that. Brother Barry Bronner will be helping us in revival. You'll enjoy his preaching if you'll come and listen to him. And if you've got lost ones, bring them to the revival. Revival is about the church being revived. But if the church gets revived, you know what will happen? The sinners will seek the Lord and they'll get saved. So let's pray that we as a church will get revived and then the sinners will seek the Lord and be saved. Anything else?